Okay, we're beginning here at the top of Kuf Samachay Mud Aleph. Here the Gemara continues with our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Merakol Kminhag Medina. Everything is premised on the Minhag Medina. So Gemara says Vitana Kama Leitle Minhag Medina. What else? If Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is positing the position that it's all Kminhag Medina, the implications are that the Tana Kama does not believe that it's Minhag Medina, and why would he have such a position? So, Amar Rav Ashi, or the other possibility in the Gersa is Amar Abaye, Be'atra Dinehigi Pashut, in a place where everybody, when they write a contract, uses a Pashut. Be'amarle, and he says to the Sofer, Avadli Pashut, make for me a Pashut contract, or a get, Ba'azov Avadle Mekushar, and then he goes ahead and makes a Mekushar, Kpeda. That's a Kpeda, and we say that either the contract's invalid, or the get is Pasul, because he specifically intended it for be a Pashut contract. When the Sofer violated his instructions, then he terminated his agency, because he did not do what he was supposed to do. So now, both. Okay, Malakov Denegi Mekushar, in a place where the city does Mekushar, they use contracts that are Mekushar, or Gitin that are Mekushar, and he says to Sofer, write for me a document, a kushar. And then he goes ahead and again violates the instructions and makes for him a pashut. Again, kpeda, and the document, again, the agency has been violated, and therefore he's no longer doing what the individual wanted, and it's not a valid get, or it's not a valid contract. Keep pligin. This is where the machlokas is. The nekudat machlokas is ba'atra, denehigi ba'pashut, umikushar. In a place where they argue, where the minhag is to do either. I mean, that there's no fixed minhag to do in mikushar or pashut, and therefore, whichever one you do is fine. V'amarle, but then he goes and instructs the individual, the sofer, avadli pashut. Go ahead and make me a pashut, va'azal avadle mikushar. And instead of making him a pashut, he goes and makes him kushar. Mar sabar kpeda. The Tana Kama holds that is a kpeda, and that he specifically asked. He asked for what he wanted. Just like in the cities where that is the minhag, and if he asks for it, that's what he wants. So to over here, if the minhag is open to both possibilities, and he instructs him as to one possibility, that's what he means. Do this, and not the other. And that's a kpeda. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Umar Sabar, Mare Makom Hu Lo. So we've seen this before. He's just telling him that it's okay to do it this way. It's okay to do it this way. What does that mean, it's okay to do it this way? Well, if you ask which is harder to make, a pashut or mekushar, pashut is much easier than to write a document as mekushar, both from the standpoint of the halachot that are involved in mekushar, as well as the technical difficulties of writing on both sides, having it line up, and folding it, all the things that you need to do to make a mekushar. So what he's saying to him is, listen, if you do a pashut, fine by me. If you do a mekushar, even better. But I'm just telling you that it's okay if you do a pashut, because this is a place where they do both. So you're just telling him it's enough to do a pashut. So if the agent upgrades and on his behalf and does even more than was expected of him, then I'm going to say, great, that's okay. And that's what it means, mare makom hulo. He's just giving him an indication of what's okay, but he's not telling him that this is it and nothing else. He's saying, well, if you want to upgrade, go ahead, but I'm not going to impose on you to upgrade. And that is
fourth case.
Which is
Atta Dinehigi both.
Right.
And he tells them Mekushar, and he does Pashut.
Right, that's why I specifically worded it, that he upgraded. There where he's downgrading, there is Kepedo. If he says, I want a Mekushar, and then he writes a Pashut, then it's not Mare Makomhu anymore, because he downgraded what he was asking him to do. So when he said Mekushar, and then he goes and does a Pashut, he's not doing it to his advantage.
So there was also to Tanaka.
Right, well, for sure, for the Tana Kama. Kama has a kpeda everywhere. But even according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it seems that according to, you know, the way the Gemara reads here, you'll see the three cases that the Gemara reads, it's always when it's an upgrade. You see the Rashbam's Lashon also, that it's always when it's an upgrade. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar, Kulu Svir Lu, Mareh Makom Hulo. That these types of instructions are simply, it's enough to do it this way, but if you upgrade, that's fine. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had Amran. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is our Mishnah that we just described. Now, Rabbi Shimon, the Tanan, we've seen together is a Mishnah in Kiddushin, that Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im hit ala shevech, harizeh mikudeshet. If he deceived her, but deceived her to the upside, to her benefit, then she is mikudeshet. So for instance, he says, Ariad Mekdeshet Li Bekesef, you are, you know, married to me with Kesef, and then he gives her Zahav, gives her gold instead. So when he upgrades from silver to gold, we just say silver is the minimum. He's saying that's she's saying silver's enough. I accept the silver. You give me gold? That's great too. So it's also the idea of Maria Makom Hulo. We said before this is when she has a shliach. She sends out a shliach to accept on her behalf. She says accept the kiddushin because it's kesef. The Baal shows up and says Arim Kadesh Li and gives her the zahav, and then the shliach accepts it on her behalf. So again, the agency was established to accept a silver coin for Kiddushin. And instead, the agent went ahead and accepted a gold coin. So did, by accepting the gold coin, does he terminate his agency because he didn't do what she instructed? Or, simply, when she said silver, she goes, silver's enough. But if you give me gold, how much better? So that'd be good. So we only say that, again, with upgrades, we only talk about upgrades with regards to monetary matters. Remember the Gemara in Kiddushin, and Rashi Rambam quotes over here as well, that that's not true in terms of Yichus. If an individual, she goes, go and accept Kiddushin from so-and-so as a Levi, turns out that he's a Kohen, or it's a Kohen instead, then she could say, no, thank you. Because even though technically in Yichus it's an upgrade, Levi to a Kohen, you know, it's almost, it's much better. Nevertheless, she can say that the shoe doesn't fit, meaning that it's not good. I can't live up to those expectations. I don't want to be at such a high standard. Right. Okay, I'm not qualified, or he's overqualified, whatever the claim is, but there you can't make quantitative assessments that it's an upgrade. So there are other qualitative issues that could come up. But over here, so we have Rabbi Shimon saying that if it's Hital HaShevach, the agency is not terminated, or we see that it's not a problem. But Lazar Tznan, this is in Gitin, Haisha Shamra Hitkabel Giti Li Giti B'makom Ploni, says to an agent, go and accept my get on behalf of me, my divorce document on behalf of me, B'makom Ploni, in this location. V'kiblu La Mi Makom Her, and he goes ahead and accepts it from her in another place. Pasul. It's no good. She said specifically in this location, and she meant that location. You go and change the location where she has to accept it, then no. No good. Rebbe Lazar Makshir. Rebbe Lazar says, it's fine. The Tanakhama obviously believes that it's Pasul because he's giving her specific instructions about where to accept it. If he violates the instructions, he terminates the agency. So there's nothing to talk about. On the other hand, Rabbi Lazar says no. All she said to the agent was, listen, you can go to that city and accept it. You don't have to go all the way. It's enough if you go to that city. What happens if the agent goes further to us, walks a lot further, or does more than he's expected of him? Okay, she says, I didn't need that from you, but if you want to do it, that's fine. Again, from the Lashon HaRashbam, you'll see in these cases that he's talking about an upgrade. Because for instance, over here, where it talks about the agent going to a specific city, he says, Vim yachpots alechet yoter, tavo la bracha. If he wants to walk further, tavo la bracha. Because you could have argued that maramakom lohu means that any city, wherever he goes and accepts it, it's fine. She was just telling him where he's going to find the get. He wasn't telling her specifically where. Just saying, I'm just telling you, that's where they're going to be. But if he happens to find them somewhere else, then it should be fine. But from that perspective, you would have said whether it's an upgrade or a downgrade, meaning that it doesn't matter where it is. Maraya Makom just says, I'm giving you advice as to where it is, not demanding that you be there. The way the Rashbam's reading, and the Rishonim, the way the Gemara reads here, it's only when it's further away. And that where the agent does more work than it was needed, then do we say that it was a Maraya Makom who, lo. Alright. So now, the next case, the Mishnah ends with a very strange line. The Mishnah ends with the fact that when it comes to get mikushar and a get pashut, it tells us when they are pasul. It says that when a get pashut has two edim on it, that we raise the Mishnah, that's kashir. But then, if it has the last lines of the Mishnah, if it has one edim in it, it's pasul. And it says the same thing about get mikushar. Get mikushar, three edim are kashir. If it has two edim, it's pasul. So the Gemara asks, pshita. I mean, what do you need this for? So now, Gemara says, Bishlam of a kushar, shakadu bo shnei dim, pasul. Itzrich, that you need, sakadat kamina ho ba'alma kashir. No, I'm saying it, but yeah, the Gersu could read, look here. I mean, Gemara leaves it out, but it's clear that's the Gemara's question over here, it's pshita. I mean, so Bishlam of a kushar, shakadu bo shnei dim, pasul, itzrich, that I need. Sakadat chamina, I would have thought, ho ba'alma kasher, hachanami kasher. Right, also just like in general, it's kasher by two edim. So also by kushar will be kasher. Look, we demand three edim, but if he didn't put three edim, put two edim, which is normally kasher by any other contract, we'll say, go ahead, no problem. Why worry about tajne? So there, the mission is mechadesh to us. No, it's still pasul. But what about the other piece? El pashut shegatov boed achad pshita. The Gemara says, what do you need that for? Right, so you don't. You have to tell me that a contract with one eid in it is pasul. That we know, and an eidut requires two eidim. And why should this be any exception to the rule? So Amar Abaye lo nitzrucha dafilu eid achad bichtav ve'eid achad bepeh. Abaye says, well, if you have one eid that's signed on the document, and another eid that is testifying orally as to what happened, well, you would have thought they are mitzdaref to create an eidut. The answer is no, they are not mitzdaref. And that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. The Chiddush of the Mishnah, when there's one signator to the document's invalid, even if you have another aid that testifies to the circumstances. Ameimar, achsher, ve'erachad, bichtav, ve'erachad, alpeh. Ameimar disagrees with the Baye and says, no, when you have such a combination of a one aid that is signed to the document and another aid that is testifying bi'alpeh, then it does work. That is a good edut. Right now, what's the story here? Tosfos here discusses a case, for instance, where you have two documents. What happens if you have two documents and one aid signed on one document and another aid signed on another document? So you have two documents with a single aid on them. So can now they be mitzdarif? If you want to suggest that echad bichtav ve'echad ba'al peh can be mitzdarif, then why can't you say echad bichtav ve'echad bichtav would also be mitzdarif? Take two contracts, two documents that testify to the same incident or the same facts, and there's one aid on each of them. So you put them together, now you have two aidim. So that's great. So if you say no, that it doesn't work, it also says, well then, why did the Gemara say the Chiddush here is Echad Bechtav Ve'Echad Balpeh is not Mitzdarif? Why don't you say Echad Bechtav Ve'Echad Bechtav is not Mitzdarif? So it must be, what it's supposed to say, the conclusion is, that echad bichtav ki hai gavna would work. And then because over here, the Gemara is only sholel, only says that the possibility that doesn't work is when it's one bichtav and one bipeh. So that's what Tosa said. But then Tosa says, I don't know, what's the case then? What is the case then? What's the case here where it's echad bichtav and echad bichtav has to be a case where they saw the same information or they're signing to the same information? They either saw the loan, they signed to the loan, they both saw the same thing. In that case, echad bichtav, echad bipeh, why isn't it kasher? Even a good Abaye, what's the problem? If they both witnessed the same issue or the same incident, why can't they testify to it? Why aren't they both edim to the fact that there was a loan over here? So what do you have to say? And this is what Tosfos comes down, that the case over here is that the echad bichtav and echad bipeh are actually testifying about two different issues. Two different things. They were not there simultaneously, and therefore they could not be mitzdaref. And that is, so I'll read you what he says here. Ela mayri kigon. She'oto bichtav me'id al halva. Shira oto ushubal peh me'id. Shira shemasar hashtar hazeh lo. So that's it. So the aid that signed on it is signing to the fact that there was such a loan, meaning that the loveh told him to write such a document. Right? She'eid chatum bo. In that case, you could never come up with a case where they would both be bichtav. Because bichtav, they can't testify to the same thing. They're not writing about the same document. One's writing about the document itself, and one is talking about the fact that the document was given from the loveh to the malveh. So now, that's the question. So here, therefore, when it's kasher, right, there it's kasher, even though there's only one aid, because why in the end we have two aidim, or two aidei misira? Why? Because we have two aidei misira. One aid is saying, listen, I signed on the shtar, and the loveh is agreeing to the fact that I'm going to grant the shtar over to the malveh, so I'm one aid misira. And then the other aid, who's the oral aid, or balpeh, saw them transact and give over the document. So now I have two eidei misira. So when I have two eidei misira, they can be mitzdarif together to make a whole document. And if you have echad bechtav, echad bepeh, and they're both eidei misira, and that's why we have now eidim to it. But echad bechtav, echad bepeh, in that case, you can't do that. Because they can't be mitzdarif. They're not testifying about the misira. They're testifying about something else. So Tosfos changes his mind and says that he thinks by Echa Bechtav Echa Bechtav it is Pasul, and that you cannot combine them. And nevertheless, it'll still be Kasher, or possibly Kasher, by Echa Bepeh Echa Bechtav, because of the circumstances of the case. Because the Bechtav and the Bepeh Alpeh are testifying about different issues. It says that they're testifying about different issues that combine to a single testimony, which is that there was a Mesira over here. Therefore, they can come together and make a single Eidut. That's not true. Echa Bechtav, Echa Bechtav. They can never come together to be the Eidei Mesira. So because he says, it's Svarahu, we never find such a thing that a star with one eight on it can ever work or can ever help. It's not. It's an invalid star. Star with an eight is useless at this point. So now, if you say, so he says that later on the Gemara is going to say that our case over here is a case of Zechar Zeh, that they're one after the other. So why would you say that they saw it one after another? If they're both testifying to the fact that it was a loan over here, that they both testified, yeah, so-and-so borrowed from so-and-so and so borrowed from so-and-so, why is that Zechar Zeh? That's the same testimony about the same event. That's not Zechar Zeh. They saw the same thing happen. So that can't be the case. And the case here must be that one is testifying on the document, the other one's talking, says, I saw the document being granted. Now, the aid that's chatum on the shtar, and it's a big chiddush Tosfos here, who says, is chashuv ke'aid b'shat mesira, is considered an aid by the time of mesira, but that, when we say that b'shat mesira is like an aid, but that's not like he's a full-fledged aid. You can't say that he's a real aid mesira, because there are many times that he never sees the malveh. You could sign on the loan document and never see the malveh, because the loveh can tell him, I owe this money, sign the document for me, and he'll sign it. And he, even though he signs to the fact that the loveh said he owed the money, he never sees the malveh, he never sees the mesira. When he's chotem, we say, listen, because he's chatum on the document, therefore when it's masur, we know that he testified to the fact that it would be granted, or that it will be granted. But he is not, in a real sense, right, a aid mesira. It's not that he witnessed the mesira. Even though in the end he might have witnessed the mesira, that's not what he's testifying about. He's not testifying to the fact that there was a mesira over here. Only thing that he's testifying to is that I signed the document, there's money owed. Oh, the fact that there is money owed means there will be a mesira in the future. But he's not necessarily testifying with the mesira. And therefore, when you have eid echad on one star and eid echad on another star, they can't be both eid mesira, because they really are not eid mesira. They're eidim that there was a loan. And if you're eid that it was a loan, one eid on a document does nothing for you. Now, again, because they are signed on the document, and then when there is mesira later on, they're also basically verifying that there was a mesira, but not that they are eid mesira. So Tosfos walks a fine line here about how this eid echad works. The eid echad is good enough bichtav to qualify later on if there's another eid mesira to be mitzareif to give it over, but they will by themselves not be enough to be mitzareif together to create a full document, because an eid echad on a document is an invalid document. And therefore, if you take two documents and the eid echad on each of them and you put them together, you have nothing, because the eid echad on a document is testifying there was a loan, and when there was a loan needs two eidim. But with the mitzira, to be mitzarif with another aid that says there was a mitzira, that they can do. So that's it's important Tosfos here, just about how to view what exactly is the case over here. So now, Amar Lei Rav Ashi Le Ameimar. Ameimar, you are disagreeing with Abaye. What are you going to do with the position of Abaye? Abaye's position is good because, number one, it solves the problem of our Mishnah. And number two, it's Abaye said it. So he says, Amar Lei Lo Shmi'eli. He says, I don't hear about Abaye, Klomar, lo severely. I don't hold of Abaye's position. Well, if you don't hold of Abaye's position, you know what you have a problem with? Our Mishnah. Are you going to explain our Mishnah now? Elakasha matnitin. Our Mishnah is a problem. Why? Hakamash malon. So, what are you going to tell us about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that one eight on a document is pasul. What's the chiddush? It's pashut. So he says, no, hakamash malon. The shtayim b'mikushar ke'eid echad b'pashut. When you have two Eidim on a mikushar, it has the equivalent status of one on a regular pashut. And what is that? Mahatam psula de oraita. Just like one aid on a contract is pasul mi de oraita. Avachanami psula de oraita. So to over here, by a mikushar with two Eidim, it's pasul mi de oraita. It's pasul. So everybody jumps. A mikushar is a din derabanan. That's what we learned before. The whole institution of mikushar is all a din derabanan. So how could you call it psula midoraisa if you're talking about an institution derabanan? So the Rashbam It claims over here that the Hitilu Hachamim Alav Psula Deoraisa. Right, that the Chamim instituted that it is Pasumi Deoraisa. I mean, that they're able to undermine the contract. Basically, what they're going to say is that a get that has two Edim on it is an invalid get. It's a get Pasul. They're going to be able to do that. That's exactly what the Chamim. The Chamim Hitilu Alav that it's a Psul Deoraisa, and therefore the get will be an invalid get. Tosfos wants to say. Whether why that it's pasul. Oh, so in exactly that case, someone writes a get mikushar, a gitin, a get with two edim. So mina Torah that is kasher, midar rabbanan. If you say it's pasul, then ain't ochanami a child born after.
So we're not choshesh for afterwards if the woman gets.
No, if she gets married. The child's only a mamzer midar rabbanan. She's not a mamzer midar raisa. You know, there are nafgamina.
Yeah. I'm saying.
According to this, if you say it's only psul midrabanan, then it would be only a mamzer midrabanan. Whereas if you say it's a psul midaraisa and you invalidate the get, then you have a mamzer midaraisa. She was not divorced. So there is a big nafkamina. Tosus, on the other hand, says no. That when it says lav deoraisa mash, it means lav dafka. It says lav dafka be psul midaraisa. It just means psul midrabanan. It's a rabbanan's institution. The rabbanan said psul. But those says not willing to go with the Rashbam that says that perish pasul deraita lo gabi bnei chari, that you can't even take from bnei chari. Beinir al rebi afilu gabi psul derabanan lo ya gabi bnei chari. This comes back to a machlokas that Tosos has, or a position that Tosos has before. The Rashbam consistently over here every time says that the document is pasul, says, well, if the document's pasul, you can't take from mishubadim. You can't take from encumbered property and property that was already purchased from the kuchot. You can't remove it if the shtar is invalid. But what you can do is take from bnei chari. The shtar is still evidence to the fact that there was a loan. Because it was evidence to a loan, you can then go to the loveh and you, the debtor, and say, "Look, give me my money back." On the other hand, Tosfos, another place, we saw this by a debt document that had rebit in it, and other institutions like that. Other cases where they get where it's pasul, the contract is pasul. When Chamim say pasul, Tosfos means pasul the gamre. The contract or the shtar is so pasul that only you cannot collect from mishubadim. You can't even collect from bnei chari. It's not even evidence the fact that there was a loan. Even when there is modeh, when the loveh is modeh, you cannot claim from it. So therefore, over here, the Rashbam says, what's the difference between psul midoraisa versus psul midrabanan? Well, if it was psul midrabanan, you could be gavei bnei chari because the document's still there. It's a psul midrabanan. But if it's a psul midoraisa, then you can't take anything. You can't. That's what it sounds like, at least from the Rashbam. Tosa says no. When you have a psul, when a contract is psul, psul means psul. You can't use it for anything. Not only can't use it for, you know, collecting from Mishubadim, you can't even use it for collecting from Bnei Charei. And there he said that that differentiation that the Rashbam is indicating here between the Rabbana and the Raisa doesn't really exist. If it doesn't exist, you have to come up with a different explanation. What's the different explanation? According to Tosos, says that it's Lav Dafka. When they say Psul de Raisa, means it has the same token. It's Pusul. Just like the contract with one aid is Pusul Midaraisa, so too, by Mikushar, two aid means it's Pusul. That Psul is Midarabana, but it's Pusul. It's invalid, and now you can't use it. Whereas the Rashbam wants to indicate psul midoraisa is a real, that they imposed a psul doraisa, which is going to have impact on the on a get, for instance, to be psul afilu midoraisa. Right now, the Gemara says teida. I can prove to you, or basically it's a maimar continuing, that I can prove to you that I'm right. Why? The shoku mitam chavraya the Rabbi Yirmiyah. That from over there, from the base medrash, they sent to his friends, sent to Rabbi Yirmiyah, what type of friends they were exactly, they threw him out of the base medrash. We remember earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Chav Gimel Midbet, that Rabbi Yirmiyah asked a question about the dovecote, where he was 50 amot away, and he says, what happens if it's poseach al shnei siipim? The one leg's on one side of the 50 amot, the other leg is on the other side of the 50 amot, who does it belong to? And they tossed him out of the base medrash because he was a metaktek or a kaptan. Right, well, what type of question is that? They threw him out of the base medrash. So after they threw him out of the base medrash, they sent questions out to him. Obviously, he was a right, the Talmud Chacham Gadol. So they sent out these questions to him. Now we're going to have four stories about what exactly the question was that they sent out to him. So the first of them is brought by a Meimar, which is Shalchu Mitam Chavraya L'Rabbi Yirmiyah Eidachad Bichtav Ve'Eidachad Alpeh Mahu Shitztarfu. What's the din? It's exactly the question that we have in front of us. It says, Aliba the Tana Kamidur Bishua Ben Karcha. So this goes back to a Gemara that we had back on David Lamed Bet. It's also, it's found in Sanhedrin and other places. That is a machlokas between Rabbi Shuba and Karcha and the Tana Kama. Whether if Edim have to see the event, they have to witness the event simultaneously, or if they witness the event, Zecher Zeh, that's enough. And do they have to see it simultaneously, or can they be separate? So that's the first thing. The Tanakhama believes that they have to see the event simultaneously. They both have to be present when the event takes place in order to be a kosher kat edim. On the other hand, Rabbi Shlomo ben Karcha says no. That even if they see it, b'zeh chazeh, as long as they're testifying to the same event, or they're testifying about the same meaning that they both saw alone for 100 zuz. So one saw alone for 100 zuz, or one saw alone for 200 zuz, or both of them see alone for 100 zuz. Doesn't matter if they saw the same event. Because in the end, what do we know? The two edim are testifying that he owes 100 zuz. So that's enough. That's way up. We have two edim that you owe 100 zuz. Or is it the same loan? Not the same. We assume it is, but it doesn't make a difference. You're chayav. So that's Rabbi Shlomo ben Karcha. So he says, Gemara says, so lo, according to the Tana Kamo of Rabbi Shlomo ben Karcha, lo to Bailach, there's no question. Dafilu shnayim bichtav, ushnayim al peh. Even if you have two signed on the document and two bal peh, lo mitzdarfe. There they are not mitzdareif. So now, obviously, why do you need, you don't need any tzibuf over here. There's two signed on the document, or there's two bal peh. They're a good edim by themselves. So what do you have to, what does it mean? They ain't a mitzdarfin. Alright, so in a mitzdarfin over here, you have to say, that's what the Rishbam says, im lo shra ushnehem ke'achad et edutan. Right, so even though both edut and you're full edut about each maneh, nevertheless, we won't necessarily say that they're talking about the same maneh. So they can't mitzvah. But if they did see the event or the same event, they would be able to be mitzvah. If the witnesses who are there coming about past, see, we saw him, them signing on it, that we saw the same event, they could be mitzdarif. But anyway, because when it's veshtayim, veshtayim, he says they're not mitzdarif. Eloki, debayelach, alibi de Rabbi Shlomo ben Karcha. According to Rabbi Shlomo ben Karcha, says that zechra zeh, they can be mitzdarif. So shnai bichtav, shnai melpeh, who de mitzdarif. Maybe it's only when there's two edim to each event, independently, we say the mitzdarif. Aval ed echad bichtav, ve'er echad alpeh, lo mitzarfinan. We don't include them. Or dem alo shna. Or maybe it makes no difference, and even in zechra zeh. So this is one of Tosfos' proof. Now what's the case over here? The Gemara over here calls the case of echad bichtav, echad be'alpeh, zeh echar zeh. What do you mean zeh echar zeh? One's signing the document, one's watching him sign the document. How can you call that zeh echar zeh? So that Tosfos' answer is that they have to be testifying about different things. The ed echad bichtav is testifying that he saw, you know, that the loveh, he wrote the loan, and the ed echad be'alpeh is testifying that this document was given to the malveh. So they are testifying zeh echar zeh. They're testifying about supposedly the same loan, but at a different event in the loan. That's why Tosfos went through that, the long Tosfos that we just discussed, explains the case is not a case where they're both testifying to the same event. Because here the Gemara calls it zeh echar zeh, so it can't be the same event. So, what's the din? So he says, Ani, shalach lahu, he sent back to the Beis Medrash, Ani, eni kedai. She shalach demli, I'm not up to the task of answering such a question, you shouldn't have sent me this. Ela, kach dat talmidchem noteh. But your student thinks such and such. He's speaking the third person about himself. Right, derech hanova, but this is what I think, shiitztarfu, that they should be mitztarif. So based on this, if you say she mitztarif, that Rirmiya thinks they should be mitztarif, that means that a meimar, he's holding up the position of a meimar. So a meimar says, I'll prove to you that I'm right and Abai is wrong, because I have Rirmiya supporting me. So Amar Lei, so the Rav Ashi responds to him and says, Ana hachi matninana, this is the story that I heard about Rirmiya. It wasn't that case. It was a different case. The Shachulei Chavraya to Rabbi Yirmiyah. They sent from the base medrash to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Shnayim she'idu echad bebeitin zeh v'echad bebeitin zeh. You have two witnesses that witness the event together. But then one goes and testifies in one beis din, and one goes and testifies in another beis din. Ma'ush yavo beitin etzel beitin v'itztarfu. Should the two bati dinim get together, and now we have an edut shlema, because each beit din accepted one of the edim, you put the two bati dinim together, now we have an edut, that's mitztarif. So now, the Gemara says, Aliva the Tanakama, the Rabbi Natan, Loti Bailach. So again, this back on Daf Lamed Bet, there was a machlokes, whether the edim have to show up in court together. The Tanakama says that Tanakhama says that you have to come simultaneously to Beit Din to testify. Rabbi Natan says that one aid can come today, one aid can come tomorrow, and we'll still be mitzareif their edut. So now the Gemara says, okay. So now based on that, alibo do Tanakhama the Rabbi Natan loti bailach. According to the Tanakhama, Rabbi Natan, who says that both edim have to be there, right? Then we know lo mitzareif. Why? Because dafilu bechad Beit Din, nami lo mitzareif. Even in one based in the two edim are not mitzareif. Now what do you want? Two Beit Dinim to get together and be mitzareif? No way. Ela kiti by lach alibi de Rabbi Natan. According to Rabbi Natan, bechad beit din ahu de mitzdarfe. Maybe in one beis din, that's where the two edim come and testify. We can be mitzdarfe if they're edut, because they both showed up in the same beis din. So the beis din themselves is mitzdarfe if they edut. Aval betray beidina lo mitzarfei. Or maybe but two betidinim. We talk about separate entities. Maybe they can't be mitzarif. Odil malo. Shelo shna. Maybe it makes no difference, and it would be mitzarif. V'shalach lehu, and he answered back Rabbi Yirmiyahu again. Ani eni gedai. I'm not worthy shatem shalachtem li that you asked me such a question. Elakat da talmidchem. But if you want to know, anyway, if you're asking already, I'll tell you what my opinion is. Notesh yitzarfu that they should be mitzarif over here. So again, Rav Ashi's explanation of what that case was, it says that Rav Yirmiyahu is not a proof to a Meimar. Because Rav Yirmiyahu over here is talking about a totally different issue or a different case. Machlokes b'tir Rabbi Natan and the Tanakama, not the machlokes b'tir Rabbi Shua ben Karcha and the Tanakama and the Chachamim. So now, Mar Bar Chia Amar Hachi Shalchulei. Now we have a third opinion about what the case they sent to Rabbi Yirmiyahu was. Shnayim she'idu bebeit din zeh, b'chazru ve'idiyu he'idu bebeit din zeh. Two people went and testified in one Beis Din, and then they went and testified in another Beis Din. Ma yushu yavo echad mikol beit din v'tzarfu. What it should be if one of each dayan from each Beis Din, or what one from each Beis Din will come in mitzarif. Aliba Rabbi Natan lo tibaylach. According to Rabbi Natan, there's no question. Hashke edim mitzarfin and dayan mibayin. If edim can be mitzarif, then certainly dayanim can be mitzarif. If edim themselves, who are the ones who are bringing the testimony to us, can be mitzarif if they testify independently of each other, then surely dayanim, who hear the testimony separately, they can be mitzarif to be done the case. Okay, the question is, according to the Tanakama, Edim who delo mitzarfina. That is, the Tanakama believes that when it comes to Edut, they're not mitzarif. Because we need a kat Edim. So you can't be mitzarif a kat Edim, you need the kat to be there together. But when it comes to Dayanim, there's no requirement that you have, right? All the requirement is in the end that you have three Dayanim that heard the case. Not that they have to be sitting together to hear the case. So mitzarfinan. Or maybe no. The same requirement is that all dayanim be present when the edut is there. Shishalchulu, ani eni kedai, shatem shalachtem li. Again, I'm not worthy that you send me such a question. Aval kach da talmidchem, noteh. This is the explanation. Shitzdarfu. That they should be mitzdarif. Ravina Amaris is the last possibility of what the case was. Ravina Amar Achi Shalchulei, this is the question. Shlosha Sheshru Akayim Et Ashtar. Three people sat down to be Mekayim the Shtar, who made Echad Mehem. After they already did all the work, they testified to the fact, they found that the Edim are valid. They verified the Edim. Yeah, they are. By definition, they will be dayanim because it's shlosha. But they're here, coming here to verify the document. You need shlosha. But mamad shloshtan, that it was verified. So now, or b'yeshivat shloshtan, that it was verified. So now, when you verified it, after they did all the verification, everything was done, one of them died. So the problem is now, when they go to write the language on the document that is a validation of Beis Din, it says, tzrich lemichtav v'motov tlat tahavina. That the way the evidence, or the way that you sign a document that Beis Din gives approval to a document verification, says that b'motav slata, in front of us three, or in the sitting of us three, this was done. So now, do you have to write like this? And one of us is no longer here. Or no, you could just write motav tlata, because what? In the beginning, there were three, they did everything right. All right, in the end, he wasn't there when motav tlata, when they signed it. But nevertheless, you know, you can write it because that's the verification is a good verification. Again, I'm not worthy to answer such a question, but if you want to know, I'll tell you, as your student, I'll tell you, you have to write the truth. You have to write what really happened, because we don't want people to think that there was sheker involved here. Or if they come to check up on the verification, they say there weren't. That guy was dead. How could you write it? So you have to explain. There was motav tlata, but one died afterwards. And therefore, it's okay. It's okay. The verification is a good verification. But even though the other person was not present at the time. After Rabbi Yirmiyahu gave the answers to these questions, I don't know if, in the end, I don't know if all the cases are true, all these questions were asked, or the disagreement is exactly which question was asked, but after he gave such a stark answer, they brought him back into the base medrash. He was re-entered into the base medrash. Okay, now we have a new Mishnah. So the new Mishnah is a Mishnah that we're familiar with because we bumped into it a couple of times. We bumped it into it, I think, in Baba Kama, these types of cases. And we also bumped into it in Gitin, which is, Katav bo zuzin mea. He has a contract that says that he owes 100 zuz. The inun slain esrin, which are equivalent to 20 sela. The truth is that if it was 100 zuz, it should be 25 sela. 20 sela is not, it's only 80 zuz. So now, when he writes, when the document says 100 zuz that are 20, ain lo elo esrin. He only gets 20. Meaning that he gets the lower of the two. He has 20 sela, which is 80 zuz, versus 100 zuz that are written in the document. He only gets 80, which is the 20 sela. The way the Rashbam explains it over here, this is the way Rashi explained it in other places, is that he really meant mea zuzim gruim. That's how we're going to explain. We're going to reinterpret what he said here to say, listen, he said 100 zuz and he says 20 sela. How do we reconcile between that? We'll reconcile and say he really meant 20 sela, but he meant 100 poor quality zuzim. 100 poor quality zuzim are worth 80 good zuzim. So that's how we're going to interpret his words. All right, that's the position of the Rashbam here, his position of Rashi. In the other places, the Tosos takes issue with this type of explanation and suggests that no, that there might really be a stira in the Lashon, and we just go with the lower Lashon. We go with the Motzi Michaver Alavaraya, and therefore he's got to prove that when he said Esrim, it really meant Esrim of Chamisha, or if he meant 100 zuz, he really meant 100 zuz. And if he wrote in the document that it's 100 zuz, that it's worth 30 sela, he only gets 100. Well, because over there, it should have said 100 equals 25. So he wrote 30, which is a much bigger number. 30 is, right, 120 zuz. So now, how do you interpret it? So the way Rashi says, we'll reinterpret its words. He says like this. I'm talking about 30 poor quality sela that are equal to 100 zuz. So we're going to say that his statement is a true statement, and everything means 100 zuz. Everything in the contract means 100 zuz. Again, Tosfot in the other places say, no, there's a stira. One says 100, one says 120. Motzi Michaver Alavaraya, all he gets is a 100 over here. Kesev zuzin di'inun says the silver coins that are, and then the amount, v'nimchak, the amount is erased. So the document says, I owe you kesev zuzin di'inun that are equal to erased. Ein pachot mishtayim. Right, so then you get no less than two, because zuzin in plural is two, so it's the minimum of two zuz that he owes him. Kesef slain deinun, if he says kesef slain deinun that are, and again v'nimchak, the amount is erased, ein pachot mishtayim, he gets no less than two. Darchonot deinun, right, these are some sort of coinage or currency that's used, the largest form of currency. Deinun, if it says darchonot deinun, and again, v'nimchak, it's erased, ein pachot mishtayim, you don't get any less than two. Now, in the document, we know that there is a repetition of that which is found in the document. So what happens if katov olamala mana, umalamata matayim, if at the top it's written 100, and at the bottom he says, 200, in the repetition, or umalamata matayim, up above it says 200, ulamata mana, and the bottom it goes 100, akol holoich achar hatachton. It all goes after the latter mention. So whatever is written at the bottom of the document, that will dictate how much money he owns. So if it says 100 at the bottom of the document, it's 100. It says 200 at the bottom of the document, 200. So this is against the rest of the Mishnah. The rest of the Mishnah seems to say Motzi Michaver Alavaraya. Here we say that the bottom dictates against the top of the document. So the Gemara says, Im Kain Lama Kutzvim Et Elyon. So then if that's true, why do we write the upper part of the document? If the bottom part of the document is always going to dictate, then why do we talk about the top part of the document? She'im timchak ot achat min ha'tachton yilamed min ha'elyon. That is because if there's an erasure at the bottom, then we can go to the top and see what was written there. So again, the ability to verify what was written at the bottom, we use the top as a backup. So that's basically what it means. The primary copy or the primary statement is at the bottom of the document. The backup is at the top. So if there's a stira between the bottom and the top, we go with the primary source. On the other hand, if there is a missing part to the primary source and we just don't know what it was, or we know that there's something, one letter erased, then we go to the right top, the Elyon, and say, okay, now we know what it said down there, because that'll be our backup copy to tell us what was said at the bottom. So now, Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara is going to go through, again, in a manner of speech, what does that mean? Amar Kesef, if he says that I owe Kesef, or I borrowed from so-and-so, this and this mention, man. He says, I borrowed kesef from this person. Ein pachot mi dinar kesef. It's no less than one dinar kesef. Kesef means a dinar kesef. If he says, kesef dinarim, right? If he says that I borrowed kesef dinarim, the dinarim kesef, or he says dinarim kesef, ein pachot mi shnei dinarim kesef. That's it. So the kesef indicates that it's silver. Dinarim is plural, so then he has to give him at least two dinarim out of kesef. Kesef bid dinarim, I'm giving you silver in dinarim, ein pachot bimishnei dinarim to have kesef. So if he has to give it, he has to then give it. So why, when I say kesef bidinarim, kesef in dinarim. So there are two types of dinarim out there. There's a silver dinar and there's a gold dinar. But over here he clearly said kesef, that I owe it in silver. Now if he wanted to say silver coins, he should have said kesef dinarim. So now when he says kesef bidinarim, what is he saying? So the Gemara indicates, "Ein pachot mishnei dinarim kedahav kesef." Then what does he have to do? Bid dinarim means that I'm measuring with a different type of dinar. What's that different type of dinar? A gold dinar. So I have to give you silver coins that equal two dinarei zahav. So the dinarei zahav, which are 25 or so silver coins, I'm going to give you dinarim of kesef that equal two dinarei zahav. So that funny lashon is what he's saying. He's saying kesef, I'm giving you silver coins, kesef dinar, but I'm giving you bid dinarim. What are those other dinarim? Those are dinarim zahav. So now, the Gemara continues. Amar mar kesef ein pachot mi dinar kesef. You just said if he says that I owe you kesef, then he doesn't give him no less than one coin, one silver coin, one dinar kesef. Ve manascha. Who says that it has to be a coin? Why don't we just say that it's the metal, it's the raw metal that he's giving? He owes him silver. So Amar Balazar, dichtov be matbeya. The contract says, I owe you matbeya kesef. I owe you a coin of kesef. Vema prite. So let us say prite. Now in general, the Tosos points out, over here, not here, but later on, the Tosos says that, in general, prite in other locations, prite means copper coins. Whenever you use prite, it means copper coins. That clearly cannot be the case here. What prite means over here is lower denominations of silver coins. So denominations below a dinar of silver coins. So Amar Papa, Achid lo sagi prite. The Kaspel. It's a case where there is the lowest form of currency is a dinar. So here what the Gemara is basically asking is here, we want to say that amotzi michaber olav araya. So all that's written in the document is kesef, is silver. So what are we going to do? We're going to look for the lowest ability and lowest item that will be classified as kesef in order that he pays, because that's other anything above that would be amotzi michaber olav araya. So the Gemara poses that says that's a dinar kesef, it's the lowest form. So Gemara asks, second of all, the Gemara asks about coins. What about other silver coins? So Gemara has to say there are no other silver coins. The lowest form of denomination in this area is a dinar kesef. Because if there were lower forms, then you could say that kesef, but be'a kesef means the lowest coinage in silver. What about raw silver, or, I don't know if raw silver, but silver brick, or whatever it is that he's going to give him in silver. Why do you have to say it's a coin? It has to be silver. So now Tosa says, well, that indicates from here that what the silver in a block is worth less than the dinar kesef. Because otherwise, what's the Gemara's question? If silver is worth more and a block is worth more than silver coin, then he can say to him, of course he has to give a dinar kesef. Why would he ever think about giving a block of silver? The answer must be that a block of silver is worth less. So that's what Tosus proposes over here. That the nascha here is griya, is worth less. But the Tosus rejects this Rabbeinu Tam, explains it this way. It says, no, that over here, the nascha, the metal, would be worth more than a coin. Right, because he says, but the fact is that because he wrote kesef stam and not mitbeya kesef, that it maybe is enough to indicate to us that he really means a block of silver and not a coin. I mean, that if he wanted it to be a coin, he should have said matbeya kesef. The fact that he didn't write matbeya kesef throws, or actually casts aspersions on the fact that it is a coin. And it probably is a block and not a coin. So even though the silver would have been worth more than the coin, nevertheless we thought maybe in this contract it should be silver. And the answer is no, that it did write matbeya, and that's why he has to give him a coin in silver. So now the Gemara says, Amar Papa, oh we did it, right? Tan Rabbanan, dahav. He says gold, ein pachot mi dinar zahav. And the contract says gold, and he doesn't give him less than a gold coin. Dinar zahav. Dinarim, right? Dahav, dinarim, dinarim, dahav. If he says gold, coins, or coins of gold, ein pachot mishnei dinarim dahav. He has to give two coins of gold. Dahav bidinarim, so this is similar to the one we had before with kesef bidinarim, says gold in dinarim. Ein pachot mishnei dinarim kesef dahav. Then he has to give in gold coins. He has to give what two or in gold he has to pay two dinarim kesef. He has to pay two dinarim of kesef. Again, here it's the opposite way around. Because here he's talking about gold, and instead of saying gold dinarim, it says bid dinarim. So what is the only other dinar besides a gold dinar? It's a silver dinar. In the last case we had, where he was talking about silver, and he says bidinarim, what's the only other side of the kesef is zahav. So basically, in each case, we say, if he's talking about silver, and then he says bidinarim, which indicates some other dinar, it will be the other dinar. The other dinar is the opposite, is the other metal. Whether it's gold or silver, it depends. If you're talking gold, that means that in silver coins, so at the amount, give me two silver coins worth of gold. And if you're talking about silver, it means give me silver in worth two gold coins. So the Gemara says, "Amar Mar Dahav, Ein Pachot Mi Dinar Zahav." If he says gold, you give him no less than one dinar of Zahav. Ein Manaska. Why don't we say he gives him gold brick? He gives him gold brick. So Amar Rabbi Lazar Dichtiv Mitved Beya. Again, we say that coin was written in the case here. Veika Pri Ema Pri Date. What about lower denominations? The Gemara says, "Pri Date Zahav Alo Av Deinche." So that there is no such thing. There are no lower denominations. The lowest denomination of gold coins is a dinar. If you want to go to lower denominations, they use silver or copper. They do not use gold in lower denominations. So now the Gemara says, Zahav bidinarim. When you say Zahav bidinarim, ein pachod mishnei dinarim kesef zahav. You have to give two dinarim in kesef in gold. Why don't we say, ve'ema dahav apricha? Why don't we just talk about that? He's talking about pieces of gold or broken pieces of gold. And that he's using bidinarim. Why don't we say bidinarim means that he means broken pieces? Betrayed dinar to have a kamar. Why don't we say that he means like this? We say that the word dinar here has to be something besides the word zahav. So zahav, we say he wants gold coins, but he's going to value it based on silver coins because it says dinarim. So the Gemara says, no. Why don't you say when he says zahav, it means give me pieces of gold, right? Give me some gold. Bid dinare zahav. So you use the term dinarim. The word dinarim is determining the value. And the payment will come in zahav, in gold. Gold doesn't have to be matbeinus, it could be in pricha, in broken pieces. So Amar Abaye, no, you can't say that. Yad balashtar al tachtona. That the balashtar is always has the raw end of the deal here. He's the one who's trying to make the claim over here. If he wants to make the claim, we're going to go with the least possible explanation. The least possible explanation is to explain that he wants gold coins valued in silver coins. Why? Because silver coins are worth significantly less than that. I mean, that you would give, if you give two silver coins versus two gold coins, that is, two gold coins are worth 50 silver coins. So if you say, Dahav Pricha, that he's talking about pieces of silver in gold coins, that means he's paying him 50 silver coins worth of gold. Whereas if you say that the explanation over here means, I want gold coins valued in silver coins, means that I want you to give me two silver coins worth of gold coins, then he's like, give me him two dinare kesef. So if I say to you, Amotzi mechaver v'alaraya, how am I going to explain this statement in the contract? I'm going to explain it with the least amount. What's the least amount? Two dinare kesef. That'll be the lesser of the two amounts.
You're explaining the pricha with trade dinare, the haba kamar. How are you explaining that?
He'll pay him in gold, but the valuation of gold coins.
Gold coins.
Right. Gold coins are worth, I'm just telling you what, gold coins are worth 50 kesef. So I'm saying, if you compare that against two kesef, then which one is the lesser amount? Is the two kesef. So therefore, Motzi Mechaver V'alaraya is basically the Baal Shtar Zal Tachtona. Now you want to prove that it was really means, right, two coins of gold, worth of gold, rather than two gold coins in silver coinage, then you're going to, in gold coinage, I want two silver coins worth, then you're going to have to prove that because you, Motzi Mechaver V'alaraya, we'll stop over here.